Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Really, really good. Yes. Yes,
great.
Thank you. Yeah. It's an incredibly beautiful spring day, and I got to farm, you know.
Wow.
Life just doesn't get better. Yeah.
I was waiting for you to talk about the farm.
You know, when a person has an obsession, you know, you just know where they're going to go anytime there's an opportunity.
And as far as obsession goes, this one seems like a pretty awesome, beneficial.
Seems good, doesn't it? Seems pretty harmless. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. I have an announcement here.
All right.
Virtual meditation groups allow practitioners to sit virtually with Sangha for 30 minutes daily and experience presence through meditation. For a full schedule of the groups and for all practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for tonight. Yes. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And a conversation on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is fabulous. All right, let's do it, Sherry.
All right, here we go.
Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Oh, let's try that again. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Are you there? Oh, it looks like you're there.
Hello.
There you are.
Yay. I was double muted for the first time ever.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. This is Dana. Hi, Michael, and hi, Sherry.
Hey, Dana.
This is only my second time ever on Open Air, so congratulations again to me.
Yes, it's kind of a big deal, isn't it? You know, many people listen to these shows for years and never say a word to us. So, yes, very pleased.
So, yeah, me too. So I called in today because I did the beginner's mind exercise that came yesterday or today, one of them.
Mm-hmm.
He said to call in if you wanted to talk about it. So what I started looking at, the word control really grabbed me as a good thing to look at. And what I've been exploring that then this control piece comes in is, so there's this content that my dad's really old and he just got a cancer diagnosis. And so there's been like a uptake in the grieving process, like pre-grieving. And I had this awesome dream and there were all these sub-personalities coming up and I process mapped the dream and I invited the personalities to, I was like, hey, I'm here. If you want to speak, I'm here. And I was having a great time, you know, process mapping and interviewing. And
this is all in a dream, Dana?
No, after the dream.
Oh, good. I thought, boy, yeah. I have dream envy. Okay, all
yeah.
Right, good. Good, okay.
And so, like, obviously it's heavy content, but it's not really about the content. It's about the process related to how I relate to experiences where ego's telling me I'm going to experience extreme intense pain in the future. And so then I analyzed my dreams with a Jungian therapist, and so I was sharing with her my process map, and she said, well, you know, it looks like you're just like really aggressively going after these characters, and if I was a 6 or 7 year old, I'd be hiding from you. Like, And what that brought up for me was that I know that I have this muscular intellect, like from going to Ivy League school and just cultivating, being very smart and being, you know, getting all the accolades for all that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this, there's this kind of like ego process that kicks in, producing the fear of intense pain, and then like going after this healing, the so-called healing transformational processes, but like doing it so intensively that I'm trying to like force the process maybe, and like that I can't really tell when that's happening.
Well, let me ask you this, Dana. Did it feel that way to you before she said that?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was wondering when she said it. She says it to me a lot. I've been talking to her over like 20 years, and she says it to me a lot, and she knows me very well. It's Jungian therapy is like psychology and transformational. It's not quite spiritual.
Yes, Carl Jung was studying Zen Buddhism when he died.
He was getting there. And I know that I have this really strong analytical evaluation. Like, I'm just so good at those things, and I was practiced doing them through grad school and being a teacher for 30 years and doing research and stuff. And I think it's a great strength, but I think ego's taking it over, and I think it's using it in my spiritual practice.
I'm gonna stop you right here, okay, and ask you again. Okay, don't forget that just because this woman is a Jungian therapist, she can still project.
Yeah, she does,
and
actually.
So, yes, and so if she's saying that to you a lot, now it doesn't mean that it's not true. Right, just because we're projecting doesn't mean that we're projecting isn't accurate. It's not that at all. It's just that to assume somebody's assessment, I just want to make sure it's how you feel.
Right.
I mean, you've been around me for a while. You know, I like to think about stuff in that sense of, well, quick to explain, not in a conditioned mind way, but well, now what is that about? Where does that come from? And so I can be looking at that, and I can use that language, and if somebody is aggressive, then they might project that onto me, okay? But that doesn't mean that's where I'm coming from. So in working with you, I wouldn't project that onto you. I would say you're really interested in it. You really want to know about it. You really want to understand it. And if there are aspects of the personality, aspects of the personality who might be vulnerable to that ego, self-hating ego voice that's saying, oh, this is going to be awful. You're not going to be able to stand it. This is going to be horrible. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You would want to protect those aspects from that kind of treatment. True?
Right. Yeah.
Just in the same way if you had children of your own, or you have two, I don't know what age group you taught, but if you had any two people, you know, if somebody is kind of a bullying presence and given to saying mean and threatening things to somebody, I bet you would, in both camps, you would want to understand what goes on with that person. You know, where is that coming from? And you would also want the person who is buying into it to see it for what it is. That doesn't necessarily... I just wouldn't buy that projection. I've never heard you say anything that if I were a 6 or a 7-year-old would make me afraid of you.
If anything, I'm learning more and more how to just be in my heart with that young person. And I, right before you started talking, when I was talking, I saw that if I carry a belief that I'm being intuitive, then that's just a belief. Like,
that, yes. Now you blipped out. Dana, you blipped out that I'm being too what?
If I have a belief that I'm being too obsessive or that those take over, then that's just a belief.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So,
which is not helpful.
But so right.
Yeah.
So getting back to what you were just saying, if I cannot blank out.
It's recorded.
So it was all excitement, and I was really kind of surprised when she came out of the blue, and there's plenty behind that. I take everything she says with a grain of salt at this point. But I wanted to consider it. But then when I started looking at the beginner's mind, and I only have like a brief time that I haven't really recorded and listened or anything with it, but I was interested in like how is ego control about
gosh,
my,
Dana, you just keep breaking up right at the most critical moment. So start that sentence again.
Let me see. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
That's better.
I'll see if I can hear you. so what the question is, and you've already started answering it, is how is ego taking control of me when it's giving me fear? So what it does is it said you must look to the future and dread that the happen.
Of course, because that's brilliant. It's for anybody who wants to make you miserable, you know, making you miserable in the moment is really heightened by making you miserable about the future. So, you know, if you're just going along and whatever happens in the future happens, and you feel whatever you feel about it in the moment, that's one thing. But if you can be made to dread the future because it's going to be so awful, you're not going to be able to stand it, well, you're going to be miserable from now until you die.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And
it's horse-pucky.
Yeah.
It's utter horse-pucky. You are not going to feel a pain that you are not going to be able to survive. Will you feel pain? Darn tootin' you will. Yes, absolutely you will. You'll sob, you'll cry, you'll, you know, pound your fists, you'll do all sorts of things. But it's not going to kill you.
Yeah. But the fear of it is really ingrained. And I talked with you on one of the Fridays recently, and we talked about all this. But towards the end, because I was like, ego had a field day with me because I was fearful of the future, feeling pain like this, and you showed me completely how it was just all ego. But at the end, you said this thing about, yeah, it's gonna hurt like hell, and I went right back into it. It's like, see,
well,
ego is right.
It will. It will. It will. It will. Yes. When we love someone tremendously, and they are no longer here. We experience pain. That's not the same as suffering.
Right.
So here it is. Here, you adore your father, right? And the odds are really good he's going to die before you. He's 90-something years old, right? So obviously he's going to go before you do, unless you get hit by a truck. Okay? And so when that happens, you're going to have the experience of the pain of loss or grief. Okay?
Right.
That's not the same as suffering. Suffering is when you believe you shouldn't feel that way. It shouldn't be that way. Now we're not
or
going
I believe
to be
that
out
I
there.
Am not adequate to it and I have to do everything
now,
I can to avoid it.
Hang on. Yeah, but you can't. Okay. He's 90-something years old.
Right.
Okay, you can't avoid this. Now, you may have avoided stuff all your life, but you're not going to avoid this, right?
Right.
And so, so the fear is you won't be able to stand what the voices in your head are saying to you. Now, picture this, okay? Mm. You adore your father. You adore your father, and he dies, and you go, he was a nice guy. Yeah.
Right.
Now, what's for dinner? Right?
Yeah.
You don't want to be that person, do you?
No, and I know that's not how it is. I mean, that's not how life is.
Well, it is for some people, right? But you don't want to be somebody who can lose someone that they love dearly and not feel anything.
Right.
You just So you aren't going to feel those things. And in the moment, you will feel them, and they will pass. Those sensations and feelings will pass through, and you will recover. That is the truth.
Mm-hmm. And a true feeling only lasts 30 seconds, I believe.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Everything else is a conversation in the head, and we know how to avoid that.
Mm-hmm. Or at least see it. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
So one last thing is about how I reacted to the beginner's mind assignment, because I saw the word control and ego says, oh, I'm going to go after this. Or maybe it was life saying go after this. But then ego like comes in and says, like, well, obviously control is going to get you. You're going to try to control life, and you have to
Dana, see it now. That's right. Here it is. Any voice that calls you, ego. It is not you. It doesn't know anything about you. It doesn't care about you. You are simply a meal. That's it.
Yeah. Okay, I'm hearing you. This is the second time you said this to me in less than 2 weeks.
Well, it may take more times than that. Sometimes it does. Yeah,
I'll practice
That's the point. When even if you hear I voices, but that's down the road. When you hear a you voice talking to you, do something else. Just turn your attention to something else. Mm-hmm. Have something there that you turn your attention to. Start reciting singing the Star Spangled Banner, whatever it is that you want to do, but no attention to anything that calls you you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
I'll try to sing a better song, but
that's a very nice song. Yeah. and you can hit every note. Don't you worry. All right. Thanks, Dana.
All right, thank you, Sherry.
All right. Take care. Go happy.
You too. Bye, Michael.
Hi, Dana. Thanks for joining us tonight. And Dana, I cannot mute you, so if you could mute yourself,
okay.
A call back in, that'd be great. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. I am Sebastian from Ecuador.
Hey, Sebastian.
You remember me.
How are you doing?
Good. I'm really glad that I managed to get in the call. Thank you, Michael, for helping all the time as well. I am I don't know if you remember the last time we spoke. I told you about this project that I was working on, and I didn't know whether to keep going or not. And then you told me, keep going until you can't anymore, basically.
Uh-huh.
So recently I am in a loop right now, because recently I have been questioning my life, and in a way that I want to make sure that I am making decisions to make myself happy and enjoy life, as corny and idealistic as that could sound, especially as someone that comes from Ecuador and has gotten the opportunity to be overseas. Right now I'm just I need to move to San Francisco, to take this project to the next level, but I don't have much certainty. And when I sit with the idea, basically my question to you is, how do you know if you're doing something that is aligned and feels in tune with your heart? It's a hard one.
Not really.
Love that.
Yeah, it actually isn't. Because, and this is where it gets really esoteric, okay, or, you know, whatever. Can sound like spiritual mumbo jumbo. But when we get it that life is living us, like that you're being lived. You have a life force. You have an energy. Things occur to you. Things just drop into your head, right? You feel drawn to things. You feel attracted to things. There are things that appeal to you that you, right?
Yeah.
And it's not like you sit around and think them up. Okay? You're not sitting around saying, let's see now, of all the things in the world, where would I like to go and what would I like to do? You already have a sense of that because you're living your life, right? You're in Ecuador and then something happens and you decide, I'm going to go to the United States. And you go to the United States, right? And then there you are in the United States doing whatever you're doing and this project happens and you pursue it, right? And then it occurs to you, I don't know how it occurred to you, but that you need to go to San Francisco if this is going to go to the next level, right? So it's like it's unfolding in front of us all the time. Now, here's the place where it gets really, really dicey for people. And somebody, I just wrote a blog recently, and somebody wrote in to say, that was such a great story of how we think things are going to go a particular way, and then they don't. Okay? So the fact that you are thinking, you know, if I'm going to continue this project, I'm going to need to go to San Francisco in order for that to happen. You think, okay, well, all right, well, that makes sense. I'm going to go to San Francisco. And it's a bust. Okay? It's an utter failure. Does that mean it was a mistake? I'm going to say no. Because what every aspect of that is showing you something that is critical for your evolution.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Okay. Yeah, I am with you.
Yeah. So whether it's in alignment with your heart, the fastest way for me to look at that is if somebody says, Sebastian, why are you doing this? And you looked, your response would probably be, you know, I don't really know. It just feels like the thing to do. It's just what I want to do. That's a good one. Now, if there are voices in there saying, listen, you need to do this so that by the time you're 45 years old, you're going to have enough money that you're going to be able to blah, 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 and you will be able to do this and this and this and this. And if you don't do that, then you're going to make a really big mistake and you're going to be really sorry until the day you die. That is not your heart.
Yeah. Okay. When it comes from like punishing me or kind of like instilling fear in my decision.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, trying to scare you. That's not, the heart never does. Now, what we call life, you know, other people call God or that which is or all that is or the intelligence or whatever people want to call this thing that's living us, right? Never, never scares people. Never threatens people. Doesn't. Is just unconditionally loving. So you want to do that thing? Go ahead, do that thing. And that's actually not for you, right? That's not your direction. It turns out you were actually going to wind up doing something completely different. But you didn't know that then, right? And there's nothing in life that's going to say, oh, that was really stupid. You know, why did you do that? Right? That's the ego. Life is just going to unfold open the next page for you and be there. That's kind of it.
Yeah. Okay, so that actually really helps. Yeah, because I was like really stuck in this kind of like, I realized because I've been doing my practice more and more and observing myself throughout the day, you know, trying to get to know myself better, really. And I have gotten to a point where I have realized, okay, I'm living this life. And a lot of it is just, you know, broken parts of me that wanted to fit in and made decisions based on that fear. And you know, in the want of fitting, but I have taken it to such a like intense level and pushed myself so hard that then I found myself in a place where I am completely drained, have no energy. Yeah. So I'm thinking the next thing that I want to do or that I'm going to do, I want to make it from a place, I want to make that decision from a place of like, I'm excited about this and I'm excited into putting myself and my life into this, regardless of like the outside situations or opinions of the world, even if that decision might be me deciding to like, you know, sell candy on the street, you know, like I think I'm being a little bit like exaggerated
but I don't know if
that makes sense.
It makes absolute sense. And here is the only way you're going to accomplish what you want to accomplish. And that is, a la the previous conversation, you have to stop listening to negative voices in your head. You have to stop letting yourself be punished and berated and made to feel, you know, all that system has to go. And when that system goes, then you're free to be anywhere doing anything. And it doesn't matter because you're going to be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as long as that system is allowed to talk to you and to say those things to you and to try to frighten you and push you until you're exhausted and all of it, as long as it's controlling your life, you will be unhappy. It does. You know, you could go to San Francisco and you could launch this project and it could be, you know, move over Jeff Bezos, right? And you will be unhappy.
Yeah, because I don't want to do it from that place. So that's why this time I'm being like a bit more intentional about, I don't want to live for other people's expectations or from society's expectations, but I want to feel...
Or for egos' expectations.
Exactly.
All those people don't live inside your head. Only ego does.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where the enemy is lurking.
Okay, I am going to take that, and who knows, maybe I'll go to New Zealand instead.
Who knows?
You will be hearing from me for sure.
Good.
But the center is in San Francisco, right?
We used to have a center just south of San Francisco, but now we're in Western Washington, across the water from Seattle. So still the same coast, not that far. All right.
Okay.
Good.
Great.
But you're
going to
let me know regardless, Sebastian.
I will, Sherry. I will.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you for everything and for always showing up.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Sherry.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Sebastian. And that was a fun conversation, Sherry. I enjoyed that. And we are going to take a break here and hear from Good News Update, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right.
And Jen, your guest is now live, and I'll turn it over to you for Good News Update.
Great. Thanks, Michael. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Emily, who is here to speak with us about her experience of practicing with saying yes. Welcome, Emily.
Hello. Thank you.
Hello. Yeah. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah.
So tell us about how you've been practicing with saying yes.
Well, I was out of my usual practice activities for a while after my wife died. And I wasn't completely cut off from practice, but I was very just consumed by the wave of upheaval and things that were going on, and I allowed myself to do what I needed to do and to try to be okay with that. It was just extremely hard to pay attention. I just felt like my brain was exploding, and it was just hard to be involved in a lot of the ways that I had been.
So the rhythms of how you were used to practicing were interrupted by a very large life event.
Yeah. And so I just watched, there just came a time when I guess that something changed, or I had some more space to bring some practice back in. And so I just watched an interesting process of going from, you know, hardly doing anything to just kind of an onslaught of participation in just like a month or two. So I wanted to share some things about that.
Wonderful. Yeah. Tell us.
Well, I think the first thing that I noticed was that I needed support to like get out of my current jag I was on of like kind of binge listening to music, and that some of my things I wanted to look at in my life were getting neglected. And so the first thing I did when the buddy invitation came around, I decided I will sign up. I needed to be accountable. I'll sign up for commitment buddies. And that seems like one small thing. I will say I'm going to work on this for 30 minutes a day. And I just needed that little boost to do that one little thing. So kind of starting.
So that. Say that again. You were breaking up just a tiny bit, Emily. What was that last?
Starting. Just starting small.
Yeah. So recognizing that you needed support, and so just starting with that one step of, I need support to stay accountable for this, I'm going to get a commitment buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I watched it just grow from there so quickly. Like, then I was on the page where may as well sign up for the RL buddy and get and none of it involved thinking. Like, if I thought about it, I would have heard that I couldn't do it. I couldn't pay attention. And I didn't listen. I just was like the more I exercised that yes muscle, I was like, okay, I'll just sign up for that too. And then kind of around the same time, an invitation to write a Practice Corner article, and I think that was the first thing that I thought, okay, I have a few weeks, and I like to write, I can do that, and that it would, I thought it would, you know, there had to be something that I was practicing with, and that if I had some time to think about that, that it would kind of give me that awareness of what I was, something. I mean, I knew I had something to report on. I just wasn't quite seeing it. So I thought that would be a support of looking at things. And it did. It was like, and then came this invitation, which that was a stretch for me to say yes to, but it was kind of the same idea, like, oh, I'm looking at things in my practice anyway now, so I'll do that too. And I have time to look. And that was huge, because then the next few weeks I could really just acknowledge and look at some things that were happening, and you know, ended up writing about something that I thought was non-practice, but that led me to learn something about practice.
I mean, it's just so fun the way you're laying it out, Emily, because when you were getting to the good news part, it almost was like, I mean, the yes has so much momentum at that point that you're just yeah. going with it, right? I mean, because that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and it's so clear to see why resistance is so constant. Because once we start to get the hang of yes, I mean, it's very much kind of the conversation Sherry was just having, is life is leading us so beautifully and so perfectly. And the only reason we don't notice that is that we're in a near constant conversation about resistance. And so it feels like we're having to constantly get over that hurdle. And so what you sort of discovered, it sounds like, in this process is, I'm just going to say yes. I mean, if I stop, I love that piece of, if I stop for even a moment and start the conversation with conditioned mind about whether or not this is a good idea, I'm sunk. Because there's a million mm-hmm. reasons that will seem real to me of why this isn't a good mm-hmm. idea. You know, like, this huge thing just happened in my life and I can't really pay attention. And so why in the world would I sign up to be live on the radio show mm-hmm. to talk about Mary Grace? I can't
yeah.
or write an
yeah.
article, right? Yeah.
That wouldn't have happened that way. It was a beautiful experience of following life. And I was getting encouraged by doing that. And so I, you know, it was easy to keep doing that. Like, even how I wrote the article, that I didn't stress about it. I was just like, I was too busy to do it for so long. And I just thought, I'm just going to wait and see what happens. I know, like, I could, it was just like formulating. I know it's formulating. I know it won't take that long. And then this topic for good news came up, and it's still going. I keep adding
yeah.
commitments
yeah.
to my commitment buddy. Because they're becoming automatic. The first ones are becoming automatic, and then I have space for more. And I've been to the farm because I, you know, got more connected. And
And the more it sounds like from what you're describing, the more you say yes, the more connection there is, the more you want to say yes, the more you feel connected, you know, that process builds on itself. And there's almost an ease to it that you're describing. There's a momentum to it that builds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I made space for best shape possible. When I looked, I didn't really have room for it in my schedule. And then I was like, well, I'll do that, and it'll work out. Or,
yeah.
I don't know, just that something, same thing told me to do that.
And yeah. Well, because the other thing... Go ahead. It felt like...
Oh, I just have this image of, like, this line pulling me in, like the mothership, and kind of that getting pulled in.
Yeah, like that tractor beam that we sometimes talk about. In practice, yeah, that's perfect. It's really, it's pulling you in, and you're letting it. You know, you're siding with life, if you will, right? You're getting out of the conversation and conditioned mm-hmm. mind. You're actively choosing. You recognize that conversation could easily pull me down, so I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to stop for a moment. I'm going to stay here. I'm not going to get out of the moment to go have that conversation where I know it will pull me down. Instead, I'm going to allow life to keep leading me in here, keeping me here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just keep that process that I'm getting trust in.
Yes, exactly. And also what you're describing is, you know, you keep saying, and then there was space for this, and then there was space for this, and then I added more commitments, to realize how much literal time it takes to be in relationship with conditioning. And when we're not doing that,
yeah,
life becomes spacious. And the things that didn't need to happen that day don't happen, and that's fine, you know, mm-hmm. but we're on life time, mm-hmm. which is much more relaxing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That was just so good to experience that. I could have just wasted time with the ego saying, you know, I did a bit of that, listening to it say, you're not practicing enough. Feel bad about that.
Well, and that, we do have to go, Emily. But that reminds me, thank you for bringing us back to that, because I was struck by the way you described the time when your wife died and how that interrupted the rhythms of practice. But one of the things you said was you were really practicing with letting that be all right. And I can't help, mm-hmm. you know, see that very likely that's part of what once, you know, some of that shifted and you were able to be here more and maybe, you know, there weren't as many people around and all the things, that because you hadn't gotten pulled deep down into a self-hating process around that, but rather giving yourself the space to have the experience you were having and to the best of your ability, mm-hmm. practicing with that being all right, you know, it really opened the mm-hmm. space for when you were able to more connect in some of the ways that you were more used to connecting, that was available to you.
Yeah.
So that maybe. It really, even that was in some sort of a beginning of the saying yes practice.
That was a practice of acceptance. Yeah. Well, thank you.
And then from all that, because you said yes to good news, we all got to hear about it. So there you go. A very tangible side benefit to that practice for all of us. So thanks for being with us, Emily. It's a really fun conversation.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
So happy. And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Emily, and thank you, Jen. And welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And
love
Sherry,
that.
I love that. Yeah, I love that you talked earlier also about being lived. And you talk about that, and I heard in that conversation also. It just gets me out of the head. It's like, oh, yeah, life has a much better ideas for me if I would just chill.
Try to turn loose with the reins. And the way Emily was talking about it, it's so a relationship. And it always takes me to that Hafiz poem that I love so very, very much, you know, where we go to the market, the beloved and me, and we pick out the things for dinner, and then we fix dinner and tickle one another as we're cooking. You know, that life, you know, when we get ego out of the picture, life wants to befriend us. You know what I mean by that. I mean, it's not but that's the way it feels. It's like that connection, that support has always been there. Right, but we're so trained to be listening to those negative voices about what's wrong with us and how blah, 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 blah. And when that begins to fall away, then that other relationship becomes so clear and strong. And then, as Emily is describing, you know, and Jen said the tractor beam. Yeah, it's like we're just being brought home. We're just being pulled moment by moment closer and closer to that unconditional love that we are. It's lovely.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yep. Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller. Live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Maura.
Hey, Maura.
Hi, I had a call for a long time, and I just want to thank you. Months ago, A woman called in and she was so unhappy with her adult child and with her husband. And you said, well, why don't you move out? And I was similarly just in this state. I was just so unhappy. And more things happened. That kind of planted a seed. I had been at Tassajara for many months and then I went back. Anyway, it took a while. It grew in me. And then exactly what people are talking about today, I had what I'm going to just call a spiritual awakening in February 14th. And I actually called the suicide hotline. I wasn't suicidal. I was just, it should have been like the very, very sad hotline. It was like, I didn't know what to do. And the guy said, do you feel like you're going to hurt yourself? And I said, no, absolutely not. And then he said, I'm so sorry to do this to you, but we're so slammed. Can you call back in a few hours? And I'm like, oh, sure. And I got off the phone. And at first I'm like, wah, wah, even I'm rejected by the suicide hotline. And then I was like,
even the suicide line is rejecting.
Yeah.
Oh,
even
my
they say,
God.
Like, and then I was just like, and I, it was like the hand of something, like shook me awake and said, listen to what he was saying. So many people are suffering. Be with them. So many people are suffering. And it was like this gift. And really, Sherry, ever since that day, I've been awake. And my body went into action without thinking. And I started kind of a little bit looking for a place, and then it fell into my lap kind of miraculously. A person told me about it who I didn't even know she knew I was looking, and it's perfect. It was a little outside of, like, beyond what I would spend, but I was also thinking of putting my sister, an alcoholic, in rehab, and she didn't want it, and I was like, I'm going to put myself in rehab. and then right after I got the apartment, I got work from my old work that paid for that month, and life's kind of been like this now. After 10 years of kind of being shut down and sad and guilt, and I'm a terrible person because I love my husband and all of this. So I wanted to thank you, because months ago that it just was a tiny seed, and then something happened. So this was mostly a thank you, and I have a teeny question.
Well, first of all, thank you for this, because, you know, I don't know if you're around us enough, but I just said it to Sebastian, you know, you're going to tell me, right? You're going to let me know what happens, right? Because, you know, because I want to know. So, because we're practicing together, and how are you doing with it? And what's happening with you now? And, you know, all of those kinds of things. So anyway, thank you for including us in this.
Yeah, well, thank you. Because when I called in, I was so guilt-ridden, and I was just felt so guilty about what I had done and just hating myself. And so, yeah, and it's, you never know, I guess, when something will change or when it finally shakes you awake.
Exactly.
But
Well, that light comes on and that door opens and you're willing to step through it. That's the secret, right? And that's why I'm just constantly beating on that drum of not listening to those voices in the head. Because if you had been open to that, you wouldn't have done it.
Right, and I can't even use better words for it, that I didn't think about it. About what I did. My body was moving. It was like all this time meditating, I was like, turn off your mind, your mind's doing this, your mind's doing that, instead of, no, just be here in your body, in this vessel. It's hard, I can't, well, you've said it, I just can't find the words, but it changed everything.
And here's the good news, I know exactly what you mean. Right. Yeah, all of that, because when somebody says to you, just be here, Just be with your heart, right? We'll talk about it as just be with the life force that's animating you. Just be with presence. It's like, what? You know, okay, what does that mean? Any of it? And then when it comes together like that, and you know what the experience is, then suddenly you're, that's what that, I see. Oh, that's what that means. Oh, I get that.
It's amazing. Yeah. I know. Read articles, mm-hmm. listen to Dharma talks, sit looking at a wall for weeks and weeks. And it's not that that did nothing. It's just, it got me to just, at least yeah. maybe change the whatever.
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, who knows how all of the pieces weave together for it to come together for us. But that's, yeah. you know, everything we do is for that. Right? We don't know. There's no guarantee that the lights are going to come on or that all the doors are going to. We don't know that. But we're doing our part. We're doing our the best that we can to show up. That's yeah. all we can really do. And that's what you're yeah. doing.
Yeah.
All right. You had a little question.
My small question. So mm-hmm. I also moved to an apartment. It was kind of like beautiful. It's just mostly just plants, but decorating, just plants. But in the meantime, I really mostly haven't been, quote unquote, practicing. Like, I'm not mm-hmm. sitting on my cushion. I'm not, but in the morning, I just sit in my chair, and then I have these prisms in the window that put rainbows on the wall and like disco balls that put lights everywhere. And I just sit there and look at that. But I'm not like formally, I kind of haven't been formally meditating. And I don't know, I guess what my question is, oh, I guess former Catholic, is that. Is that bad?
Is it a sin, Maura? Is it a sin?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause
okay,
I know
well, here's my best encouragement, okay? I love to meditate because of exactly what you described. It's the time when nothing else is there. There's just that which animates and yeah. And the peace and the beauty, the stillness of that, right? And so if it's that for you, then absolutely. You would want to do that. If yeah. if you feel like that happens for you sitting in your chair, well, then do that. The thing you want to me, the little, you know, note of caution is the voice is slipping back in.
Yes.
Yeah, that's when if you start feeling that resistance or the voices are wanting you to think about this or worry about that or even this question,
yeah,
right, would be one to be really careful of, right? Because it's trying to get you to question, right, rather than sticking with what happened to you, which yeah. was when the time was right. It just all came together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had a peace quote. I don't know who said it, but a peace quote came out not that long ago that said the equivalent of, I've fought myself into suffering millions of times. I've never thought myself into happiness once.
Mm. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And there we are, right? So when that thinking starts wanting to sneak in, then you just want to be really paying attention and stick around.
But is there like a thought to make that thought just calm down? Like what?
No, well, you know, our whole thing, the way we talk about it is redirecting the attention. That's what we practice in order not to get caught up in conditioned mind. You know, you see that you're looking there, that, and you just redirect your attention to where you want it to be, which we hope is this here now, right?
Yeah.
So we don't try to, you know, you don't want a relationship with it. You just want to recognize it and be able to ignore it.
Wonderful. It's funny, even hearing that, it feels simple. It doesn't feel complicated. I think in ways I made
very
it
manageable
for so long, yeah.
Well, it does seem complicated until we understand it.
Yeah.
Right? But that's like everything. You know, I mean, a math problem is just Greek until you understand it. And then as soon as you see it, it's like, well, that's simple. So it's kind of like everything in life is that way.
Yeah. But it's just... anyway... Well,
don't be a stranger, huh? Don't wait for several more years to let us know how you're doing.
Well, someday I'd like to come up to the farm, and I'm in San Francisco, so that would be wonderful.
Yeah. Well, you know where we are.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you
Thank
so
you
much.
More. Thank you. Take okay, care. Bye. Go happy.
Thank you. You too. Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Maura. And Sherry, I'm going to find us one more caller here.
Oh, goody.
All righty. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, goody. This is Laura. Laura C.
Hey.
Hey. That's just been so fun to just be here on the call, just taking it all in. And earlier, what to pick. There, I feel like there's like sitting in a field of, you know, flowers, and which one is the best? And they're all the best, given our last koan a couple koans ago.
Mm-hmm.
The one that is kind of front and center right now is like this possibility of what if. So I used to get a lot of pride from how busy and I am, but I never really looked at it that way. It was just because it really actually never felt like I had choices in it. It was just, well, this is just what's required. But I do.
Well, there's,
you know,
just there's just so much, right? But you're really good at handling it all, isn't that kind of it?
Yeah. And so then when people would reflect, like, oh my God, you just, how do you do? There was this like. I don't know.
But secretly, we know that it makes us a superior human.
I'm on kind of a medical leave given a surgery that I've had, and it's the first time I've ever experienced this. It's like required to be, I don't even like using the word slow, because slow is in comparison to fast. And slow has this message of, at least, you know, for me, of like, well, it's something's wrong.
Not
with
how
slow.
You want to be.
No, not how I want to be.
That message.
You know, I don't wander. I don't meander. I don't like, I don't do anything at a pace that isn't brisk. And so, just being forced to have to, you know, it would hurt me if I would not pay attention. And so I've had the experience of actually, I don't know, I'm just really enjoying the pace of this moving through life in a very rushed way.
Yes. So I feel that this is right in line with the theme of this call this evening, right? Because now if somebody had said, so, Laura, how about if you just go on ahead and have a surgery, and then for a period of time you won't be able to do most of the things that you do, how's that sound?
Yeah.
Right? So there you are, traveling at this very brisk pace, and somebody suggests that to you. This is crazy. No, I don't want to do it. I have too much to do. I can barely keep up now. I can't, right? But you didn't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so life, in its infinite wisdom and compassion, offers something that will deliver for you an experience that you have wanted forever and didn't even really know you wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the being lived part, right? The being guided is kind of the conversation with Sebastian. You know, you go with life. I mean, I don't know. I guess you could have said, no, I don't want any surgeries. You know, I suppose. But we go with life where life leads us, and we have experiences that we have to have, but we're not going to volunteer for.
Right. And it's so, I think everybody in this call will get it, but like I've had, I, right before I had this, you know, major surgery, I planted these, you know, 5 plants, very easy supposedly to grow, but I've killed everything that I've ever grown in my life, right, up until now. And yeah. So I just decided right before them to plant these. And I did. I've got nice soil. I got all this stuff. And oh my God. So I can still move around in my recovery. And I have been every day, every other day, really tending to these plants. And just, I'm eating cucumbers and I'm eating basil salads. And I'm just loving these little plants. And they're so metaphorical, right? Around
they're
what
so they, you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Right? They're so you. Because I was looking at that just recently. You know, I've got these basils and mine aren't in the ground yet. They're in pots, right? And I thought, you know, and it's there they are. They're just in all their innocence. If they're not taken care of, they're not going to make it, right?
Yes.
Same with us, right? And that's what we want. We want us to take care of us that way. And
we
there you are, taking care of them. Taking care of you.
Yeah. So I'm, you know what, it's like however long it takes, but I just keep showing up and I'm grateful for being willing to receive, right, the lessons
yes.
that life is offering.
Oh, yes. Humble, right? Being humble enough to be grateful that we're loved enough that the effort is made to give us what we wouldn't choose for ourselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's a good deal.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura. Okay. Go happy.
I'm happy.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. And wow, that was fabulous.
Here we go, huh?
You mean we have to end now and sign off?
I know, darn. Who else you got? Thank you, Michael. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But thank you for this. It's been a joy.
Yep, me too. Thank you, everyone. Go happy.